Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are meditating on the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes that somehow bring us the gist or summary of the Gospels. We have two lists we have seen, two lists of Beatitudes. The Gospel of Matthew, we have 8 plus 1, and in the Gospel of Luke, we have 4 Beatitudes presented. And these Beatitudes somehow express the various aspects of the kingdom, various effects on the community, on the world, of Jesus' presence, of the kingly rule that is established or inaugurated in this world through the coming of Jesus Christ. So it brings us joy, the coming of God to save, the coming of God to give us life with love, makes us happy, joyful. And this exuberant joy Jesus is expressing through these exaltations, utterances. How happy is your situation now? How happy are you? And what is the reason of this happiness? The reason of the, or the basis of this happiness is God is here. God is with you as your Father. You are chosen as God's children. God has forgiven you. God is lavishing his love upon you. God is making you princes, his sons and daughters. So be happy. Whatever be your situation, whatever be your physical, spiritual situation, open your eyes, open your hearts to the outpouring of the love of God. Receive it. Be cleansed with his love. So this is how Jesus is expressing the Beatitudes. And now we are analyzing the Beatitudes one after the other. We have taken some time to analyze the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven, as in the Matthean version. Or blessed are you poor, yours is the kingdom of God, as presented in Luke. Now we come to the second Beatitude in the Gospel of Matthew, and that we have in the Gospel chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Luke has a slightly different formulation, and he presents this as the third Beatitude. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who weep now. Matthew gives as a promise consolation. In Luke, it is love, a contrast between the present and to the coming. In Luke, it is said those who weep, and in Matthew, it is said those who mourn. In fact, the original Greek text is using two different words. In Luke, it is more of the outward expression, those who weep and cry, lament, the explosion of a sorrow that is somehow being manifested through loud cries and wailing, tears, all expressions that can be seen from outside. A person in total despair. A person who is helplessly crying out. So this is the person who cries, who wails, who laments, who weeps, who will be comforted, and whose cries and wailing laments will be turned into laughter. So this is something going, God is going to reverse the situation. And that is being told the disciples. You who cry now, you who weep now, you will laugh. Laughter is the expression of joy, and weeping is an expression of sorrow. So it is to say your sorrow will be turned into joy. In fact, this is the same thing, that you will be children of God. that the kingdom of God is yours. Now, the kingdom of God is explained as laughter, as joy, as happiness. Now, in Matthew, it is more of an internal attitude. Happy are those who mourn. It's a kind of suffocating pain, a sorrow that is welling up inside and somehow breaking your heart, something that comes from inside. What is the reason of this crying or this sorrow? Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't go into the details. Why is one crying? Why is one sorrowful? What is the reason? It can be many. Any reason to be unhappy, sorrowful, maybe a person is sick. And Jesus has seen so many people sorrowful, sad, sick, crying. He saw the widow of Nain crying, sorrowful, because her only son was dead. He himself shed tears at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept with the two sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. So they were sorrowful because of the loss of their brother, only brother. There were people who were weeping because they were hungry, people who were sick, people who were oppressed, exploited by others, people who met with accidents, people whose life was cut short. All these could be reasons why one is sorrowful and crying. And Jesus is telling all such people that he will bring them comfort. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, we have this. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Whatever be your burden, physical burden, bodily pain, mental illness, spiritual bankruptcy, whatever be the pain, whatever be the burden, come to me, I'll give you rest. In fact, the Beatitude is presented in a direct appeal and direct promise when Jesus says, I will give you rest. Blessed are those who mourn, and they will be comforted. So the consolation that Jesus is promising, he is giving to all those who came to him. All those sick people who came to him were healed. All those mentally deranged people, all those possessed by demons, they were all liberated. And they had all the reason to laugh, to be happy. So this could be the first meaning of the expression, blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Jesus will comfort. But when we go a bit closer, we see also other types of mourning being sorrowful. When we come to the Old Testament, we see a number of places where people are mourning, people being sorrowful, people being sad, lamenting over the sinful situation of the world. They take upon themselves the sin of the world, and they identify themselves with the sinful people, and they cry before the Lord. They lament before the Lord. They weep and mourn before the Lord because of the sin of the world. Give some examples. Psalm 119, verse 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because your law is not kept. When I see the world where the law of God is not kept, is constantly broken, when oppression, when sinfulness is abounding, the murderous fury of the few are oppressing the majority of the people, when life is dashed to the ground, when moral principles are forgotten, forsaken, my eyes shed streams of tears, says the psalmist. So this is one kind of sorrow, being sorrowful for the sins of the world. We have a similar expression in the book of Ezra. book of Ezra, chapter 10, verses 1 and 6. We know Ezra is a scribe, a lawyer, who came from Babylon with a royal edict to rebuild the community of Israel and Jerusalem. And when he came, he saw the community was in shambles. People had forgotten the law of God. They had broken without any qualms of conscience. And now Ezra takes upon himself this sin of the community. Chapter 10, verse 1. While Ezra prayed and made confession, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a very great assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him out of Israel. The people also wept bitterly. So this is one thing: weeping bitterly for the sin of the world. Not one's own sin, but sin of the community, for the others. And in verse 6, 10:6 again, then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the chamber of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib, where he spent the night. He did not eat bread or drink water, for he was mourning over the faithlessness of the exiles. So this is one thing that could be meant: the people who mourn, those who mourn over the sin of the world. Similar thing happens with Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Then I turned to the Lord God to seek an answer by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Our Lord, great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, we have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. So this is lamenting, weeping over the sin of the community. Again, in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9, while I was speaking and was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen before in a vision, came to me in swift flight. So Daniel making confession of sin, not his personal sin, but the sin of the community. So this could be what is meant: those who mourn for the community, the guilt of the community. But not only for the community or the world at large, mourning, weeping, crying for one's own sin. That is even more important: the repentance of sin expressed through deep sorrow. That is what we find especially in the Psalms. Psalm 51, verse 4, gives us the true meaning of sin. Against you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. That is the wickedness of sin. God is the object. God is one who is rejected. God is one who is offended. God, one who is hated. Against you alone have I sinned. The psalmist is presenting the situation of David in his sin with Bathsheba. But it is seen as a sin of rejecting God, sin of offending God. In fact, every sin is an offense of God. Against you alone have I sinned. When I become aware of this sinfulness, then a sorrow wells up in my heart. And my heart is broken by pain. In Psalm 51, verse 17, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken and contrite heart. A person whose heart is broken because of the awareness of sinfulness, because of being aware of having offended God, having gone away from God, having rejected God, a person who weeps over his sins, that person will experience the comfort, the cleansing of the heart. It is the tears that wells up from his broken heart that cleanses his sin We see in the Gospel of Luke, the woman, public sinner, who came to Jesus, who wept at his feet, and his heart was cleansed. And she was sent away with joy. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. A peace that comes from the awareness of being forgiven. And that peace brings joy. So this could be another way of interpreting the mourning. So a person who is really aware of the gravity of sin, a person who is sorrowful about his sin, about the sin of the world, and a person who is ready to change his life, such a person can be happy. And Jesus is calling him blessed because your sins are forgiven, because you will be comforted even now. The very moment you become sorrowful and repent and confess your sin, the joy seeps into your heart that wells up from the depths of your heart. And this joy, this comfort will be complete when God comes to wipe away every tear. Jesus wiped the tears off the eyes of the people. And the book of Revelation gives us a promise. In book of Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The same is repeated in chapter 21, verse 4 of the same book of Revelation. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. God will wipe away the tears from the eyes. So this is the promise. So those who are sorry for their sins, whatever be the reasons of their being sorry, the moment they start repenting, rejecting your sinful ways, you experience the joy, the happiness. God doesn't want people to go with a long face. God wants people to be happy because he loves them, because he loves each of us. And he wants to wipe away every tear from every eye. And for this, he needs our own hands. We know God doesn't have a physical hand to wipe away the tears. He doesn't have a tongue to speak to us except the human tongues of you and me. So God wants to use us as instruments of his peace, of his comfort and consolation. Jesus, who consoled the people, the sick, during his lifetime, now wants his disciples to be his agents, to comfort, to console, bring the words of consolation, to wipe away the tears, and to bring happiness and joy. So this beatitude, giving a promise, at the same time, it is a challenge to us to be the instruments of comfort to all those who are afflicted, all those who weep, and all those who mourn around us. So let us take up the challenge and be comforted by God and be agents of comfort for our neighbors.